When I was 14, I got a call from a man claiming to be my dad. I only knew one man to be my dad. He's the one who raised me, who loved me in every way. I was a daddy's little girl. With one call, everything changed. This man I did not know wanted to meet me. I just wanted to travel. I was living in Ethiopia, and he was a refugee camp in Kenya with his wife and 9 children. Curious, I went. He told my mom it will be only for 3 months. But what I did not know, he was planning to steal me away and take me with him to the United States. My mom had always said she wanted me to have a better life than she had. She got married for the first time when she was 13 years old. She had her first child at the age of 14 and me when she's 19. She never had a chance to go to school and get education. My mom worked hard so I could have what she did not. In Kenya, I did my best I could do at that time. My stepmom did not like me. She treated me like a living maid who cooked and cleaned for her kids. She cussed at me. I would still serve her tea. She yelled at me, and I would still make her food. I showed her nothing but kindness. She showed me nothing but contempt. At the age of 15, I was raped and got pregnant. How could I return to my mother home in Ethiopia pregnant? The community would not believe and understand that I had been raped. And they would look poorly on my mother. I could not let that to happen. I was isolated from my family in Kenya because they did not like me. And I was isolated from my mother either in Ethiopia. I moved with my dad's family to Marshall, Minnesota in 2005. By then, I had a newborn baby to care for. My stepmom did not help me at all with taking care of my baby. I got a lot of help from strangers. They helped me to get enrolled in school, helped me to find a daycare for my daughter. They helped me to figure out how to take a bus to drop her and also pick her up. Everywhere I turned, I got help I needed, except from my family. I didn't go to school for 2 years when I was in Kenya. I did not speak any English. Suddenly, I was junior in high school in America. Raising my child alone, learning fifth language was one thing, but there was another challenge too, something that continues today. Because I cover my head and my skin is dark, people think I'm Somali. I'm not hating on Somali though. The countries are next to each other, but we have a different language, a different culture. In high school, I would hear a call come over in intercall. Somali student, please come to the principal's office. I get in trouble for not going. They would say to me, we called you, why didn't you come? I'm not Somali. They always say, what are you then? I told them over and over again, I'm Ethiopian. Finally, they start using my name. It was important to me that they acknowledge me for who I really am. People still judge me by how I dress. They don't even know me, but they will call me names and say things like, oh, go back to where you come from. One day, a man saw my headscarf. He came up to me and told me to take her off. I don't know why it bothered him so much. You can ask me why I wear, but don't do that. Don't call me names. I cover my head because of my religious. In the Quran, it says women should dress modestly to identify ourselves as being Muslim. This is a sign of being truthful to ourselves. Not all Muslims wear headscarf. I chose to. I chose to cover myself from head to toe, and I go out. It's who I am. I have been wearing headscarf since I was a kid. Even I want to take it off, I don't feel comfortable. It's part of who I am. I get used to it. I'm old enough to kind of ignore and looks and comment, but I worry a lot about my kids. My daughter went to start wearing headscarf when she was about 10 years old. Sometimes she takes it off when she swims, and she also plays basketball. Sometimes she takes it off to reveal to her classmate, and they're surprised, oh, you do have a hair. The other time, kids will tease her and, you know, bully her, make fun of her, and sometimes even call her, are you from ISIS? Something like that. She doesn't even know what is ISIS. A teacher to be kind to everyone, even people who are mean to her. You treat them the way you want to be treated. Finishing high school is hard for me, but I did it for her. I want to set a good example for my daughter and prove my stepmom wrong. She always said that I would never graduate. I would never going to be good enough for anything. That only made me more determined to be something. What my mom wanted, I want to make her proud. I graduated and went to university. I working four jobs to get by, but I did not finish my university. I got married and got pregnant. The baby was due in September, right when I need to do my student teaching, so I have to stop the school. With everything that happened, and I never thought I would get married. Just like with the school, my stepmom always put me down, saying nobody will ever want to marry me with a child. For a long time, I believed her. I never did it. I worried about answering a question that may come up about my daughter, about her father. What would I say? I worried about how to get married will affect her. What if my husband don't love her or treat her the right way? How could she feel if I have more children? Would she be hurt? With all my worries, I agreed to arrange marriage that my family, my stepfamily, want me to do. I went to Kenya in 2008 and met the man, and I got marriage certificate. I got a strange feeling. I feel like I had seen this man before. When I voiced doubt about going through with this plan, my stepmom let it spill. It would be good for my daughter to be with her own father. She had arranged for this man to train me when I was 50 years old. I canceled the process. My family disown me now because I did not do as I was told. They'll no longer speak to me, but now I have my mom here with me. In 2012, I went back to Ethiopia to see my mom for first time in 9 years. I had a brother and sister who were born after I had gone. My mom moved to Sioux City a few months ago. She worked at the meat pack plant like she did for me. She's still working hard to provide a better life for my younger siblings. They live in Ethiopia with my stepdad until we can earn enough money to start immigration process to bring them here. We hope they will enjoy us within a few years. As my daughter, she's 12 now. She doesn't know anything about her father. She never asked. She will be someday. I don't know when. I'm still not ready to explain to her. She only knew one man as her father, which is my husband. When we go out, he never say, "This is my stepdaughter." He always say, "My daughter." That makes me happy. This is what I'm looking for. Thank you.
This story was shared at Oats Live Storytelling event in November on the condition of anonymity to protect the woman's daughter. Next week, a Christian from East Jerusalem comes to terms with a life caught in between.
When the air raid sirens sounded several nights a week, I heard my dad tell my mom, in Arabic, "Don't wake up the kids. If a missile is going to fall on us, we will die. There's nothing else to do. No gas mask will save us."
Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. It is produced by Siouxland Public Media. The next event is 7 p.m. Friday, February 3 at B Studio in downtown Sioux City. The theme is Be Moved, an ode to transitions and transformations. To learn more, find Ode on Facebook. You can also listen to past stories we have broadcast at kwit.org. The music you're hearing is by Edom Soul Music out of Omaha. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Allie Carson.